And last week we walked through this journey and we came to the point where we said, okay, we need to begin to do some house cleaning. We need to look at, okay, what's behind the curtain? What is it that's driving me to all these different areas, to all these addictions and problems and all the stuff in my life, all this drama in my life? What's driving me in these directions? And we started, and I challenged you to begin to have a conversation with God, to begin to wrestle with God about, okay, God, what's really going on in my life? Who am I really? Who do you really want to make me? And you did. And it's been, for some of you, a really long week. I can't tell you how many conversations I had this week with people who are coming face to face with some really big things. And I was on the phone with my dad, who's also a pastor at a church in Clifton, New Jersey, this week, and I said, I had no idea how much God was going to do when we started this thing. And for some of you, you're not just coming and listening, you're actually acting. You're following. And the last 4 weeks has been kind of a mix of joy and hope and pain and realization, of battle and encouragement. And today we come together and we want to wrap this whole thing up and say, okay, where do we go from here? And the question I asked last week is the question I want to begin with this week. And it's the question of, how do we continue on this path? As we look at where God's taken us, as we look at what He's shown us, as we move forward, how do we continue to grow? And for some of you, God's shown you some really big things. For some of you, God's begun to really heal you. God's begun to show you, okay, this is who I'm going to make you to be. And those things that you've been struggling with, all of a sudden they're starting to fall away. All of a sudden you're finding victory where you had not found victory for years. But the question remains, okay, how do I keep going? Because I think for a lot of us, we've been at this place before where all of a sudden we're beginning to move forward and we think, okay, I've got this, all right? I've got my hands wrapped around this. I know what to do. But how do we make sure that we don't come to April and feel like we need to do life's healing choices all over again? How do we make sure we don't come to January of 2011 and say, man, I started so strong. Why am I right back where I started? How do we finish strong? You see, how you begin doesn't matter. I used to be a cross-country runner, right? And I used to run cross-country and I used to run track, right? And in high school, there were events that you would invite girls to come watch you in and events that you wouldn't. Right? In track, you could invite girls to come watch you, right? Because you're running, like, even for me, I ran a mile, but still after a mile you're okay, right? Like you don't look like death, right? Cross country meet, right? At the end of that thing, you look like death. You don't want anyone to see you, right? You start off, you're looking good, right? Like you got your uniform on, you know, and you got your, I don't, whatever it was, you know, depending on what era you grew up in, maybe you have a bandana on, maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe you got the sweatband on your arm, but you're looking good, right? Like you're prepared, you're an athlete, you're all set. And for someone to see you at that point, you're like, all right, that's cool. But after a cross-country race, I'm telling you, you look dead. right? Like you're just a disaster. And our cross-country tracks were designed to do that to us. And you would be covered in mud, right? And you would be, and how you started didn't matter. It was how you finished. And the same thing was true about the race itself. I remember, especially at the beginning of the year when you're dealing with guys who hadn't run cross country before, right? You get up to the line and they're like, I'm an athlete, I'm the man, right? I can do this cross country thing, no problem, right? And so you get up to the starting line and they take off, right? And they're doing like a 40-yard sprint off the starting line. And you're just, you kind of start off, you maintain your pace, but more, a lot slower. And they're like, oh yeah, I got this. How you start doesn't matter. It's how you finish. And those guys always finished last. About halfway through the race, you'd be running by them, and they'd be sitting there. How you start doesn't matter. It's how you finish. And right now we're at the beginning. But the question is, how do we finish strong? Have you ever met somebody that you just walk into their presence and you just feel the wisdom that they have? You can almost sense it, right? Have you ever met somebody that you almost sit in awe of them? Because they have this aura about them, this confidence. For me, I remember there was one guy in particular. His name's Wendell Kempton, and I had known him for quite a while growing up because my family were missionaries, and he was the head of a missions board that sent missionaries all over the world, and I had the chance to be able to kind of interact with him at several different points growing up, and I remember just being in awe of this guy. I mean, this guy, when it came to spirituality, this guy was the man. Right? I mean, he was so strong and he was so wise and he was always loving and always caring. And we talked a few weeks ago about this idea of meekness, right? This strength under control. Like, that's who this guy was. And I remember looking at him and just being like, wow. And I remember I had the opportunity to be at one of the celebrations of his retirement. And they asked him a question. They said, what are you, as you get to this point, what is it that's running through your mind? What is it that you're excited about? What is it that you're the most proud of? And it was the most amazing thing I've ever heard. He looked at us, and there was a group of college students who were there who were part of this. He looked at us, and he said, I just thank God I made it. And as a college student, I didn't understand what he was talking about. I was like, you just thank God you made it. I mean, you've changed countries. You've literally changed countries with what you've done. There are countless people who are alive because you sent doctors all over the world. And at this point, the only thing you can say is, I'm glad I made it. I'm just happy I made it. And he looked at us and he said, I'm happy I'm still married to the person I started with. He said, I'm happy I never cheated our company. And I could never understand that until God started to take me through what we've been talking about here. You see, understood, it wasn't about how you start, it's about how you finish. And he understood a lot about what it means to walk down this journey of healing over and over and over again. So my question to you is, how do we keep growing? How do we keep this in front of ourselves? And what I want to do today is I want to walk through 7 different steps. And some of these are going to be surprising. Some of these are going to be things that you already know but need to be reinforced. So how do we keep growing? The first thing that you have to do, I want to read to you a verse. It's found in John chapter 15, verse 5. This is Jesus Christ. He's speaking to his disciples. He says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." first step, if we're going to continue doing what we're doing, if we're going to continue on this journey of healing, if we're going to end 2010 the way that we're beginning 2010, is that you have to experience God on a daily basis. Some of you are like, oh, Chris, you say this almost every week. Let me tell you something. This is the journey. This isn't part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, listen, I want to make something very clear to you. Apart from me, you can't do anything. I think we've covered that in this series, right? Some of you are like, I'm not going back to that church. I just walk in there. He tells me every week that I can't make it, that I can't do it, that I'm screwed up. Like, it's just frustrating. Like, I think we've covered this, right? Like, you can't make it without him. The question that we keep asking, that I keep asking the guys in my dinner group is, listen, if you think that you can live a loving life today, a giving life, a considerate life, if you think that you can be the husband that you want to be, the friend that you want to be, the wife that you want to be, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, any of those things, if you think that you can do that without God, you are lying to yourself. And it doesn't matter what you want to do today, you need God to do it. And if we're going to be on this journey, and I'm telling you very practically, if you want to end 2010 the way you're beginning 2010, you have to experience God on a consistent basis in your life. You have to fix a time in your day, every day, where you're going to experience God. Notice, I don't say read your Bible. If you get a chance, if some of you are here and you don't understand what I mean by experience, I'll give you kind of a quick breakdown of what we're talking about. But I'm not talking about just going through the motions of picking up your Bible every day and reading a verse or two verses and putting it away. I'm talking about actually interacting with God on a consistent basis. And this morning, because of the fact that we have so much to dive into, we don't have time to talk through what that looks like. We did a whole series on that in the fall. It's called Experience. You can listen to it on our podcast. You can walk through that with us and what it means to experience God on a consistent basis. And I was sitting down with a guy this week and talking him through it about how to be able to use music and your time with God every day and prayer and sharing your heart and your time with God. And specifically, I actually put together, I have a resource on your connection card. If you pull out your connection card, right, next steps, underneath the next steps, the first one is please email me the booklet. Right? This is a resource that we have. It's a PDF booklet, right? That's going to talk you through what it means to experience God on a consistent basis. Right? It's going to give you the tools that you need. It's going to give you a little bit of guidance on the journey. And so if that's you today, you're like, okay, I don't even know what that would look like for me to do that. Mark that on that connection card. I'll get that sent out to you. Right? Because step one, if we're going to get to the end of this year and we're going to continue what we've begun, we have to fix this experience time with God. We have to have this quiet time with God. And I'm going to tell you something. As you go throughout your year, there's nothing that's going to come under fire as much as this. Because you see, when we began this series, right, we talked through the different choices. The first choice is I can't do this. The realization, I can't make it without him, right? The second choice is the realization, I think God can actually heal me. The third choice is, so I'm going to surrender to him and establish this time in my day with him, right? I'm going to give my life to him. If you're not walking through that on a daily basis, you're not going to make it. You have to build this into your life. No questions asked. And there's nothing that's going to be attacked more than this. You know why? Because you might not believe in those first three choices, but Satan does. And he knows, listen, I don't have to get you to stop doing good things. I just have to get you to stop thinking you need God to do good things. He'll let you do all the good things you want. As a matter of fact, he'll let you be successful. Because what he wants you to do is buy into the idea that you can do it on your own. And there's nothing in your life that's going to be harder than this. Why? Because there's nothing in your life that's more important than this. You have to experience God on a consistent basis and walk through those first three steps. The second thing, and I got to tell you, as we were walking through this and as I was preparing this series, God has been working on me about this. I must fill my mind with Scripture. Listen to James 1, verse 25. It says, "The truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free, and they continue to study it. They do not forget what they've heard, but they obey what God's teaching says." John 8:31-32. "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you're going to finish the way you started, you've got to begin to fill your mind with God's word. Can I tell you something? I hate this step. Just blatantly honest, I can't stand this step. I hate memorization. In school, I always learned things logically, and so I would learn how something makes sense, and then I could remember it. I can't memorize anything. In school, you know, in high school, you have a chance to be able to take all different foreign languages. I decided that, you know, because I was such a romantic, that I was going to take French, which was a total waste of time, and I ended up marrying someone who's Spanish. It was the hardest thing I'd ever done. It was the only class in high school that I didn't ace. And I got a C. And I didn't care. I was just glad I didn't fail. That's how bad it was. I cannot memorize. And for a lot of us, the truth is, culturally, we've almost got to the point where we no longer have to memorize. It's a very difficult thing for us to do. I mean, even for those of us who are in this room, when we grew up, we knew the phone numbers of everyone we knew, right? You knew all your friends' phone numbers. I bet if I asked you right now, you couldn't give me one of your friends' phone numbers. Why? It's in my cell phone. We've gotten so good with technology that we no longer really have to memorize it all. But the truth is that if we're going to end up where we started at the end of this year, if we're going to continue down this journey, we have got to begin to fill our mind with God's word. Because there are going to be times along this journey where you're just going to be at the end of your road. And the only thing that's going to be able to carry you through are those verses that you memorized. There are going to be times where you're going to wake up in the morning and you're going to think, you know what? God doesn't want to talk to me. God doesn't want anything to do with me today. God's angry with me today. And you need God's word reminding you, no. God's a God who forgives. God's a God of love. You've got to begin to fill your mind with his word. Some of you are here and you struggle with depression or anxiety. I'm telling you that one of my mentors and one of the guys who actually helped to be able to write the series that we're walking through right now, he's a pastor of a huge church. And if I told you his name, you would probably know his name. And he talks about the fact that as he was planting that church, there was a time at which he walked through an incredible amount of depression. And even as a pastor, every day he would wake up and he didn't feel like he could get out of bed. He didn't feel like he could go on. He didn't feel like he could take any steps further. He said, there were a lot of things that I had to walk through during that depression, but he said, you know what brought me out of it? He said, when I began to memorize God's word. Because I began to replace the lies that were filling my head with the truth of who God is. You know what Paul calls that? transforming our minds. Paul says that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're constantly in the process of transforming our minds. We've got to begin to memorize God's word and build that into our hearts and our lives. Next step. You have to change your focus. Do you guys remember when you learned how to drive? How many of you remember the wonder of learning how to drive? Right? Your parents screaming at you. You're like, did you have siblings in the back seat, like terrified? Right? Like my sisters, I don't know how they did it, right? I guess it's probably worse if you have a younger sibling who's learning how to drive than if you're younger than the person learning, because you probably think, for my sisters, they're probably like, oh, my brother can do anything. He's swerving on purpose, right? But like, when you're watching, you ever been in a car with someone who's learning how to drive? It's terrifying, right? I remember we had a foreign exchange student who came over from Germany, and she had never driven before, and she was so excited to get her driver's license. And so I had my driver's license, and I was like, okay, I'll teach you how to drive, right? I've never been more terrified in my life. I mean, it was just like stop and just, it was gas all the way, brake all the way, slam your face into the steering wheel, like, and then the turning, like there was no slow turning. It was like you would go into a corner like 90 miles an hour, right? And I didn't have like the nice driver's ed cars with like the brake on my side, right? Even though if you're ever in that situation, you do hit the brake, right? Like you're over there on the passenger side like, brake, brake, right? And it's terrifying. And as a driver, when you're learning to drive, sometimes, I remember when I was first learning to drive, I could not go straight. And then once I finally did learn how to go straight, I kept finding myself veering off towards things. And it's something that we learn as we begin to drive, but it's something that we experience for all of our lives. Have you ever been driving down the road and you're focused on the car next to you? You're looking at the car next to you, you're like, wow, that's a really nice car. And then you realize, wow, I'm like 2 inches from that car. There's a law in our lives. It's called the law of attraction. Have you ever heard of this? Self-help books talk about the law of attraction a lot, right? Because they say, "What if you focus on something, you can bring it to you." The truth is, if you focus on something, you will bring yourself to it. You can sit here this morning and focus on $1 million all you want. It will not come to you in this room. You can set your mind on it all you want. Now, if you wake up every morning and you think about $1 million, believe me, you're going to make choices in your life that are going to direct you that way. You're going to sacrifice things, and you're going to do things for money that you wouldn't do otherwise. Things that maybe you'll regret in the future. Because what you're focused on will determine where you go. And the same thing is true in your life. Right now, some of you are in this journey, and God's taking you away from things. He's giving you freedom in ways you never thought possible before. But you wake up every morning, and you're like, okay, I can't do that. 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 Let me tell you something. You're going to do it. You wake up every morning, and you say, man, I can't make that mistake today. I can't make that mistake today. I can't make that. Why do I keep making that mistake? I can't believe I did that again. You got to change your focus. You got to focus on the goal and not on the habit. Listen to what Paul says when he talks about the life that he's leading. He says, I don't mean that I'm already as God wants me to be. He says, listen, I want to tell you something right off the start. I'm not where I need to be. Right? I'm not who I'm going to be. I'm not who God wants me to be yet. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that, which is the reason he made me his. Now, I'm not at all as I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. If you're going to end this year the way that you're starting this year, you have got to change your focus. And you can no longer focus on who you used to be, but you focus on who God says he's going to make you to be. And so as we're walking through this journey, and you went to God, and you said, God, what's behind this? And God stepped into your life, and he said, listen, you're insecure. And like I shared last week, that's what God said to me as I was having this conversation with him a few years ago. So you struggle with security. God says, listen, I'm going to give you confidence. I'm going to give you the ability to walk into situations that you would have run from before. I'm going to give you the ability to walk in there and not try to do things to build up your ego, but to be able to serve. That's who I'm going to make you to be. Listen, if you walk into your week, and maybe for you, it's like one of the other things we talked about last week is for some of you, maybe God's saying, listen, you're a coward, you're afraid. But I'm going to make you brave. You don't wake up every day and say, man, I can't be a coward today. I can't be a coward. Man, I can't be insecure today. Man, I can't do this. I can't do that. That's not how you live your life. That's not what Paul says. I forgot the past. I forgot what's behind me. And I look forward to that goal. And you wake up every morning and you say, okay, I'm going to be confident. God is going to make me to be confident. I'm not going to do it on my own strength. Remember, I'm dying every day. I'm experiencing God in my life every day. Every day I'm waking up and saying, I'm not going to be able to make it today. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to be that today on my own. But God, you can do this, and this is where I'm headed. This is what I'm becoming. Does that make sense? You got to change your focus. If you wake up every day and say, man, I can't smoke today. I can't smoke, I can't smoke, I can't smoke, I can't smoke. Why do I feel like smoking all the time? I feel like smoking more than I did before I tried to quit. You ever experienced that? You try to walk away from something and it gets stronger? The desire actually gets worse than it was before as soon as you start trying to quit? Why? Because you're focused. You can't focus on that anymore. You gotta focus on, okay, what is God making me to be? Got to change your focus. And you have to understand that along this journey, listen, you're going to fail. One of the most interesting things about walking someone through addiction is that you have to help them understand that relapse is part of the process. This journey isn't 50 steps forward. It just doesn't work that way. We're very forgetful. We're very broken. This journey is often 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. 3 steps forward, 1 step back. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. 2 steps forward, 2 steps back. Crud. 3 steps forward, right? Like, that's the journey. You have to understand, listen, there are going to be times that you're not going to make it. There are going to be times where you're going to fall. There are going to be times when that thing that you thought, and maybe you'll be focused on that goal and you'll be headed that direction. But let me tell you something. The reason that you struggle with the things that you struggle with is because of how you're broken. And there are going to be things that come into your life, stress, work, all sorts of different things that are, as soon as those things flare up in your life, all of a sudden, your initial tendency is to go right back where you started. Right? To turn right back to what you had before. And your temptation is going to be to go back to those things. And I hate to tell you this, but God does not promise you a temptation-free life. God doesn't promise you that temptation is going to go away. That's not his promise. That's not the hope. God promises you that you can have victory. And for some of you, you need to understand the difference. Because for some of you, you think you failed the second that the temptation comes back. For some of you, as soon as you feel that tendency, that pull to go back, you already think you failed. Because you think, man, why am I even thinking about that? Why am I even tempted by that? And you start to beat yourself up, and you're already beginning to lose the battle. You need to understand temptation is going to be a part of your life. This isn't about eliminating temptation. This is about beating temptation. The question is not whether or not you're going to be tempted. The question is, what are you going to do with it? And you need to understand, on this journey, you're going to be moving forward, and you're going to be excited, and you're going to be like, wow, I really am becoming that person. Wow, God really is doing this in my life. Wow, I really am experiencing God in my life. And then all of a sudden, someone, like, there's a million different things that can step into your life at that point. And the truth is, Satan's going to bring things into your life at that point. And all of a sudden, you lose your job, or all of a sudden, someone that you care about deeply passes away. All of a sudden, your boss walks in and says, guess what? I'm firing the guy next to you, and you have both jobs now. And you're getting home, and you're exhausted. And all of a sudden, those temptations start to come back. And that stress begins to push you back. The first thing you need to understand is, listen, that's normal. You haven't failed at that point. The second thing you need to understand is, listen, there are going to be times when you're going to give in. There are going to be times when that stress is going to hit you, whatever it is, it's going to bring you back there, and you're going to fail. And that's when you have to take the next step, which is, if we're going to end up where we began, I have to face and forsake my failures quickly. Listen to Proverbs 28:13. It says, people who cover over their sins shall not prosper. But if they confess and forsake them, they will receive mercy. Listen, relapse is part of the process. There's going to be times when you're just going to fail. And you're like, man, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Listen, don't live there. You can't live there. There are two things that will destroy you when that happens. The first thing is if you hide it. If you hide it, you're done. If you buy into this idea that somehow you have to be perfect, that you have to have it all together, that in order to be a part of this community, in order to be a part of your dinner group community, in order to be a part of God's family, that you have to have it all together. And so you hide it, you're done. And you will not, you will continue to fall until you reveal it. There are going to be times when you're going to fail. You have to face those things and forsake them quickly. Whoever it is that you've trusted, whoever it is that you know cares about you, you get them on the phone, you sit down with them and say, listen, I need to tell you something. This is what happened. I was honest with God about it. I know it was wrong. I know that I dealt with it with God, but I need to let you know this is what happened. I'm not going to live there. You see, the second thing is you'll start to buy into the idea that, you know what, this whole thing was just a lie. You really are who you were before. This idea that God can make you somebody different, you're just the same person. You're exactly who you thought you were. That's why it has to be quick. You realize, okay, I fell. All right, that's part of the process. I get somebody on the phone. I say, listen, this is what's happening. God, I understand this was wrong. I understand this is not who I am, that you're taking me somewhere new. I face it, I forsake it quickly. that make sense? Cool. The next one is I have to flee temptation, but don't fear it. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, it says, be alert, continue strong in the faith, have courage, and be strong. There are some things in your life that you just need to give up. There are places in your life that you can't go anymore. There are things in your life you can't do anymore. Remember, we were walking through this journey, we talked about the choice of surrender, of commitment, of saying, okay, God, what do you want to change? What is it that you want to change in me? Whatever it is, I'll do it, right? I'll go wherever you want to go. I'll change whatever you want to change. There are certain places and things that you know destroy you. That the second you step into that place, all of a sudden, you know, I'm not going to win this battle anymore. In my life, I'll tell you honestly, I have no problem with the ability to be able to walk into a bar and be able to hang out with people in a bar, but you will never, ever see me walk into a dance club. And you laugh about that, but I'm dead serious about that. That's not a decision I made because I'm a pastor. That's a decision I made because I don't win. I don't win when I walk in there. And my mind starts going places it shouldn't go, and people are wearing a lot less clothes than what I'm used to, and it's bad. I'm not telling you it's wrong to go to a dance club. I'm telling you it's wrong for me to walk into a dance club. Because I don't win. Doesn't mean I'm afraid of it. I know I can have victory. But I flee temptation. There are people in your life you can't be with anymore. There are people in your life that you know as soon as you get around them, you're going to go right back to who you were. This isn't everyone in your life. Sometimes this idea of Christianity is like this us, like this idea of becoming a Christian is like I pull out of the world. That's not us, right? I mean, why do we talk so much about sharing this with the people around us, right? Because we're supposed to be bringing God's love into the most dark, everywhere around us, right? I'm not talking about, listen, I'm just going to get together with my Christian friends and that's it. That's not what I'm talking about. But you know the people in your life that are destroying you. There are certain people that you can be around who, you know what, they live a totally different life than you. They're making the decisions that you used to make, but you know what, it doesn't influence you. But then there are other people in your life that you get around them and you always go down. And you've got to eliminate those people. Listen to what it says in Proverbs. Don't be fooled. Bad companions ruin good character. For some of you, you just have to say, you know what? I love them. I love them to death, but I can't be around them anymore. Flee temptation. This is probably one of the easiest steps you can take, but one of the hardest ones to actually do. For some of you, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been in conversation with someone who's on this journey and you know, man, I struggle with drinking. I don't know why I can't get a hold of it. Where'd you go to lunch today? Well, you know, I went and grabbed lunch at the bar. What? Seriously? You know, like, these are the simple choices that you know you need to make, but you keep hanging on to them. You keep saying no. If we're going to end up where we started, we have to flee temptation. You have to cut that stuff out and make the wise decision. The next one is something that we talk about over and over and over again. You have to form an ongoing support group. Here at Hoboken Grace, we talk about this as community groups and the fact that, listen, you're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to get to the end of this year on your own and be okay. It's not going to happen. And the truth is, and I'll just be really straightforward with you, God doesn't even want it to happen that way. So he's, even if you're strong enough, he's probably going to make sure it doesn't work out. I don't say that because I'm being harsh. I'm saying that because I believe that God's done that in my life. There's times when I said, you know what, God, I'm just going to be strong enough. I'm going to make it through this. And I believe God purposefully drove me to the point where I would fail because he said, no, you're not doing it that way. Healing comes God's way, not our way. We don't get to make the decisions. And you need people in your life who are going to be praying for you. 2 Corinthians 1, 10 through 11. We are confident that God will continue to rescue us since you are also joining to help us when you pray for us. What was their confidence in? The fact that there were people who were with them, praying for them. You need people praying for you. Hebrews 10, 25. We should not stop gathering together with other believers as some of you are doing. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other. You need someone who's encouraging you. And for some of you, maybe for some of you, you're just holding out on this idea of the dinner groups because you just think, man, it's going to be weird. Those people are probably weird. It's true. They are. Just like you. Dinner groups are not something to be afraid of. It's people just like you struggling with things just like you're struggling with. Getting together, you know what the great part about, especially our church with where we are? So many of us are just beginning. It's people who are just beginning, just like you. Praying for each other, encouraging each other, not fixing each other. We can't fix each other. Just pointing each other to God and saying, listen, you can make it. You can make it to that goal. But you've got to have that be a part of your life. And then we follow. We say, okay, God, what do you want to do next? Where do you want to lead me next? This journey that we're on, if you can get a hold of what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, if you can begin to build a life that's making these choices, right? The choice of God, I can't make it on my own. The reality choice. I'm not God. I'm not going to be able to fix this. My life is completely unmanageable. The hope choice that I believe God loves me. I'm going to trust that he can change me. That he can actually heal me. That he has the power to heal. The commitment choice of saying, God, this is your life. What do you want to do with your life today? I surrender. I believe that you are my everything. And God, anything that's standing in that way, this house cleaning choice, anything that's keeping that from being a reality, I want to know it. I want to know what's there. I want to know what I struggle with. I want to know who I am. And God, I want you to change me. I want you to transform me. And God says, this is who I'm going to make you. And then we make the growth choice, which is where we say, okay, I'm going to walk through this every day. I'm going to fix that time with God. I'm going to begin pouring His Word into my mind. I'm going to begin filling my life with God's Word. I'm going to begin taking these steps. I'm going to focus on who He's making me to be. I'm going to face and forsake things quickly when they come into my life. I'm not going to dwell there. I'm not going to let it beat me up. I'm not going to let it keep me there. I'm going to build this support group around me. And then I'm just going to follow. This is what it's about. When we moved locations, a lot of people had a lot of questions about what we were doing. A lot of people were nervous about the fact that, I mean, we changed everything. It probably wasn't the smartest decision. To be honest with you, like, if we were to look back at it now, I would be like, man, I don't even know if I would do that again. Like, it was really hard. And we changed our time, we changed our location, we changed our name. Everything changed in like a week. It was crazy. And the truth is, as we walked through that, we were having conversation after conversation about why we were doing it and how we thought that it was going to be better for people who were visiting, and it was going to expand our ability to impact because we were going to be able to have a room for children, and it was going to give us more connection time because we were going to be able to do exactly what we're doing tonight and go hang out with people in our community and watch the Super Bowl with them and be able to build new relationships and love on people. And there were a lot of different reasons why we wanted to make this decision. And I kept saying, listen, this is going to be good for us. This is going to be good for our church. This is going to be, and these things are going to help us. You know what God kept telling me throughout that whole thing? And I didn't communicate it to you guys as much as I should have, or in the way that I should have. Our church is not going to be successful because we have the coolest band. Our church is not going to be successful because we figure out the perfect time to meet. Our church is not going to be successful because we have the coolest building. We might bring a lot of people together for those reasons, but lives aren't going to change for those reasons. If we're going to be successful as a church, we have got to demonstrate to the world that Jesus Christ can heal. You know what your neighbor wants? Healing. You know what your friends want? The hope that this could be different. You know what your family wants? To see someone who actually lives a life of joy. Someone who actually knows what it means to experience God. That's what changes lives. And if we're going to be who God called us to be in this city, this journey that we just walked down, this has got to be a part of our life over and over and over again. The last choice on this journey is the choice to share. It's the choice to walk into your apartment this afternoon and be able to share with your roommate what's going on in your life. It's the choice to walk into work this week and be able to share with those around you what's going on in your life. But you know what? You have to walk the journey before you can share the journey. It doesn't matter where you are today. It doesn't matter where you are in this journey. It doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus Christ can make you exactly who you want to be. He can take all those things that you never thought you could leave behind, and He can give you victory. Will you follow? If you're willing to follow, I promise you there are a group of people who surround you this morning who are willing to pray for you, encourage you, cry with you, laugh with you, and walk this journey together. This is our chance. There's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can hold you back if you're willing to walk this journey with Him. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we bring this to a close, I realize that this is more of a lifestyle than a series. This is something that we're going to be revisiting over and over and over again throughout the year as we begin to build a lifestyle that makes these choices on a daily basis. Something that we're going to have to review again and again on Sundays in our dinner groups, in our personal conversations with one another, of calling people back to these choices. Father, I want to thank you this morning that this isn't a secret. There is no secret. Father, we want to give our lives to you. We want to surrender. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning on your connection card, there are a couple of different choices that you can mark there. The first one is, I'm willing to make these choices. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what, I'm willing to do this. I want this to be my life. I want to live this out. I want to experience that. Please mark that on that connection card. I want to be able to pray for you, to be able to encourage you along this journey. And then the last one is, I'm going to bring someone this week, and I'll talk about that in just a second. Will you guys stand with us as we worship God, the one who made all this possible?